And when is this projected to start?
The spring.
And is there anything in this plan that is adaptable, or is this set in stone?
Not set in stone, but big changes would be tough.
Okay. And so are the pine trees a possibility? As a buffer for wind, a buffer for noise?
There are.
Privacy.
The city requires a landscape buffer yard along Pute's Road because it's an arterial road. So these lots, and that's the same instance as another resident had mentioned who lives across the way in the Alessi subdivision. We required that subdivision to provide a landscape buffer as well along Pute's. So this is the plan for landscaping, city required along Pute's. What you're seeing here are the city's required street trees that will go in front of homes. There's landscaping over here in the open space buffer area, and then there's landscaping along the south as well in the open space buffer area.
Plus the required landscaping on each lot.
And some of those plantings are evergreens, especially within the landscape buffer yard along
Pute's. Is that something that, because I know you have to have X number of trees, is that something that can be adjusted to increase the number of evergreens for this location?
Sure.
Possibly. Sure. And then where is the construction equipment going to be coming in and out of?
Pute's.
Out of Pute's or out of 47th Street Pute's. Through Hunter's Reserve?
City engineer. Pute's. Great. Thank you very much.
Go ahead.
Good man. Thank you. Ladies first.
My name is Maysoon Eichel. I'm actually here on behalf of my uncle, who is out of town, Aziz Khoury. He lives at 4658 West Woodward. So he's right on the corner of 47th and Woodward. So as I'm understanding, can we put the other picture up?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Folks, I see you taking pictures. We can get you copies of these drawings. It's not an issue.
And they're online.
They're online, so.
What is the website on that? Is it just franklin.gov?
franklinwi.gov.
Yeah, city.
franklinwi.gov.
Okay.
Sorry we're interrupting you. Sorry.
No, that's okay. All right, so he's now right on the dead end. You know, he can have lots of great parties and.
Sorry, we can't stop that.
and park in the dead end there, so. Is the road set to go through in phase one or phase two?
Phase two.
And so phase one is going to start, well, it is springtime now, so, I mean, just like next month it's going to get started?
Probably sometime in July.
In July, okay, so in the summer.
But you got time for some parties.
Well, I mean, if phase
two
is next year. and then phase two start next spring, would that be the goal? And so just so I'm understanding, so 47th Street is going to go all the way out to Pute's? Or will it just into the subdivision?
Well, it's going to go into the subdivision.
Right, but it will not be a straight shot out to Pute's?
Correct.
Okay, you will have to turn. Is that another road right there to go out to 51st Street?
Come on, Oren.
Sorry.
So here's 47th. Mm-hmm. So a couple of turns.
Oh, so if you went north on 47th, you're going to run into a little cul-de-sac right there?
Yeah, you don't want to go there.
Yeah. And so how far back are the houses going to go to Woodward? I mean, it's actually hard to kind of envision.
What?
So
40 foot
his
sets.
Yard ends, there's a little tree line, and then it's all corn.
Correct.
Okay, we like to be friendly and easy, but let's do one conversation at a time and maybe talk to us and we'll get you the answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'm not scolding you, sir. Now you're up.
No, I know I can.
No, you've got a good accent, so you can say all you want.
My name's Gwen Owen. I live at 4748 West Jenner Court.
The lady previously had asked about...
Irish?
No.
Brit?
Welsh.
Well, oh, Welsh. Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Be careful. The previous lady had asked about the through traffic on 47th Street. I live off 47th Street. And she asked about a speed bump, and you said no, because we have snow. Well, there are other parts of... I know it's in Milwaukee, but there are speed bumps in the city of Milwaukee. So it's not totally out of the question. If they manage it in Milwaukee, why wouldn't you put a speed bump at the where 47th Street now? The lady who was just up here was talking about is a dead end right now. Why wouldn't you put a speed bump in there?
Okay, fair question. The city engineer is going to answer it because it's his responsibility.
In fact, we had another location in town that requested some speed humps recently. So we did a very detailed and in-depth study on New Berlin was specifically and their experience with them. And we talked about it at length at the Board of Public Works, and we decided that was not something we would support in Franklin. It has a lot of issues and downsides, and New Berlin actually staff wishes that they had not started the practice of speed humps.
I feel this urge to be honest again. The reality about people speeding, it's not me coming into your neighborhood. It's you and your neighbors speeding. So I used to like it when I was an alderman because they'd call me up and say,
if you're going to put that many more people in my neighborhood, then you're answering your own question about people coming through there speeding. So you've got Hunter's Reserve where... Jenner Court is, West Jenner Court, and that street there is going to go straight through and then turn sharp left or right. So all those people there have the opportunity to come down 47th Street.
Okay.
That's the issue.
I'm going to respectfully disagree with you based on human nature. Those people aren't going to come into your neighborhood unless they're coming to see some of you. They're going north. Just by human nature, they're going the shortest route to get to where they need to go. I don't want to argue with you. I don't mean to argue with you. I'm just saying that's human nature. As soon as Oren puts up the site plan.
Not to be out of turn, but right, well, for high school kids, back and forth.
That's a whole different deal.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Oh, thank you, sir. And by the way, the Franklin High School kids, you're their parents.
Actually, my kids are all graduating. So
you don't look that old. But that is my answer to that. Yeah. Okay, sir, thank you.
Okay, Doug Genrich, 4339 West Hunter's Court. So, live in Hunter's Reserve. I have a few concerns. Now, one of the gentlemen pointed out about the drainage all going one direction towards the nursery, and we talked about the nursery. Actually, when Franklin did Hunter's Reserve, and we talk about grading, they screwed it all up because there was no way they could grade properly, so we get a lot of water coming off the field going into the Hunter's Reserve right along there. So they put a couple storm sewers in, but we have icing problems and all that. So are they gonna how are they gonna get the water to go the right way if you got stuff you can't touch there? You got a whole buffer zone you can't touch along that whole east border.
Essential services, sewer, water, stormwater, those can go inside wetlands in those buffers. So if they need to put storm pipe or something in those areas, they can still do that. There's nothing that stops them.
Are you going to do grading along that east?
The grading can't go into those areas, but the pipes and stuff can.
I appreciate what everyone is saying, that it's going west, but it actually goes east over that too.
They can go in the buffer. On the east side and the south side, they just can't go in the wetland buffer.
So earlier we pointed out that we wouldn't be in this meeting if we went with a bigger lot size. Why are we going with a smaller lot size when everything around in Hunter's Reserve is a half-acre lot? I mean, we talked about the home values at $400,000 or $500,000. There's no homes in there that have sold for $400,000, $500,000. I'm kind of curious where that's coming from in here, because our houses, our lots are all much bigger than that too, and they don't sell for that kind of money. So I'm just kind of curious on where we're seeing that. And is this going to be a builder subdivision only, or is it going to be open for other people to buy lots and build other homes?
Matt, builder only?
At this point, it's just going to be a builder subdivision.
So I've been around for a while in Franklin, but this is a new builder to Franklin. And we went through this before with Pulte, and they never finished the subdivision and ended up being kind of a fiasco. So did we consider that we want to open it up for other builders, or did they say, we're going to buy this and this is the way it is? Because it's going to look like a cookie-cutter subdivision, just like the one across from the high school. Everything looks exactly the same.
That's a conclusion before fact, so.
Well, that's what it looks like.
That subdivision may look that way, absolutely.
So is this going to be the same thing, or what's the restrictions on the housing development or the houses that they need to look like, or who's going to approve it? Because when we built, we had to come to the city and get approval for, hey, this is the way it looks, architectural approval, all that. Is that all part of it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So why did we go with the smaller lot sizes?
Matt, do you want to answer that? The applicant?
Sure.
Use the microphone, please, Matt, if you guys don't mind sharing.
When we've done our research on this market, the smaller lot sizes and the homes that we are providing there, it seemed like a good fit, particularly when you look at the layout of the property and the natural resources on the property that are there. Some of the city requirements along the buffers on the wetlands and also along on some of the adjacent properties, you're forced to put a certain amount of open space in anyway. So in order to balance the additional open space that we're having to put in, and with the site plan in order to make it work and be more efficient, the option that is provided by the city ordinance seemed like a natural fit and probably one of the reasons why the city has that in their ordinance.
So where did you come up with the estimate of 4,500?
Let's do this one at a time.
Okay. So they didn't answer his question.
But he can ask the question again. So let's not do this let's not get out of control.
I think it's a good thing for City of Franklin to have, you know, some more tax base. Obviously, we need it for some tax relief. But like I mentioned before, I've been in there a long time. I haven't seen any houses sell for that. So I'm just curious, is this valuation that you're coming up with? Because I don't have appreciation for what the lots are going for in here. Because if you're doing them as home lot packages, it's hard to understand that based on what else is going in around Franklin. We haven't had a new development in probably 10 years of all new stuff.
Matt?
We have done a market study from a researcher who does this basically for a living. This is what they do. And in terms of the home plans that we have provided, the lot sizes that are here, the market that's here in Franklin, they have come up with specific pricing for the different home styles that we plan on having in here. And that's how we have come up with the pricing that we come up with. And it's actually stuff that they have told us. So.
Okay, one last question. Square footage requirements for ranch and two-story?
Mr. Dietl?
1,800.
Or Mr. Sumwalt? These are minimums?
Yep, the R3 district standards, even under the option 2 open space, which is what we're talking about for this special use, have minimum requirements. So for a one-story dwelling unit with three bedrooms, it would be a minimum of 1,700 square feet. You add 150 square feet for one-story dwelling units over three bedrooms, and so on and so forth. So there are standards still for that in spite of the special use option. Very, very similar standards to the regular R3 requirements. Is allowed, yeah, you can do two-story. Again, the multi-story, I just did the single-story, but the multi-story dwelling unit, three bedrooms, minimum 2,000 square foot total, 1,100 square foot first floor minimum, which is the same for the regular R3.
So is there any possibility to look at another exit besides just the one going on to Pukes? I know a lot of the other, like the Leslie, that one, they did it as a big loop, and they also did that all
is a wetland right there. And the topology here is weird, so I'm not going to say no.
Okay, that's all I have.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Okay, we're at second kicks at the can. Okay, go ahead. Give us your name again because we recorded.
Tom Plusman. I live at 4606 West Woodward. So I'm one of the houses on the north side of Woodward. So this is right in my backyard, just east of 47. And just to address a couple of the concerns with 47th Street, I drive up and down 47th Street several times a day, and this is actually going to help the lady that lives on 47th and Hilltop. I won't drive past your house 9 times out of 10.
Always at the speed limit.
Always, I do. It's the 15-year-old, you know, 16-year-old kids that are speeding, you know, but it's like you said, Mr. Mayor, it's the parents and it's the neighbors that are driving too fast. But this will actually help us in that everyone in the Hunter's Reserve subdivision is landlocked in to 47th and Hilltop. We have to go in and out of there to do anything. So this, having this 47th Street access, which will not be a speedway because of the way it's constructed here, it dead ends into that cul-de-sac. You'll have to stop at Blazing Star Road and then make a left turn and loop around and then stop at the next street up where that tees into the next and then make a loop, and then surely there's going to be another stop sign at Pute. So that's going to slow traffic down quite a bit. So I see this as a very good thing. I also attended the early this year. Here there was a meeting regarding this. Mr. Cutney was here and Alderman Taylor and gave us quite a bit of information. And since that time, I myself have to say that I've spoken to Oren several times, and he's been nothing but helpful and accommodating and sent me much information on this and helped with any fears that I had, because, again, this is right in my backyard. And Mr. Cudney, I've reached out to him several times, and he also is quickly and very responsive and been very professional. I, like everyone else, like the farm, but I'm a realist, and I need to stay apart. There's several things that could go in here, and I think we're fortunate. I've done some due diligence on this company, and they're out in Madison there quite a bit. I've driven through some of their subdivisions out in Omni Falls. They built some quality houses, and I think we're fortunate to get a quality company like this to come and develop here. There's a lot of shady-looking groups running around, and this is very well thought out. I think I know everyone here with the whole layout. That's very professionally done. They clearly have engaged landscape artists, engineers. You just testified that you also had a market analysis done to respond to the gentleman's question as to who's going to pay $500,000. The house the house on the corner of 45th and Woodward just went up for $500,000 about 2 weeks ago and sold in a day. So, and regarding the architecture and things like that, I think that's for the folks that are going to buy these homes to decide if they like the lot size. A lot of the newer type people like the smaller lots. I have a half acre lot, and I found out that, you know, I probably want one of these lots. So I just want to say I view it as a good thing. It's going to be good for us in Hunter's Reserve. It's going to give us a new access to Pute. It's going to develop that area pretty professionally if this all pans out the way these draftings look. And from talking to Mr. Sumpel, there's processes in place here in Franklin where you're going to make sure that this all happens. And from the responses I received last week, I couldn't believe anything but, because it would be inconsistent for him to change course at this point. I don't think their company would be situated the way it is right now if they pulled anything but that in the other areas that they are. So I want to say I support it. I think it will be a good asset to our tax base. I saw the number in here when they factored in how much. It's like $10 million of accessible value. So that, too, is a good thing. So that's all the comments I have.
Before the next person, I want to tell two different things. First of all, we need to congratulate Mr. Sumwalt. He's celebrating his probably 1 month anniversary and a new promotion. He is now a principal planner for the city, and I was proud to work with Joel and be be able to promote him. So congratulations to Oren. Thank you. The other, I want to tell a little story that I think Alderman Dandrea can share as well. As a young alderman, one of my first calls was from a neighbor of mine who said, "Steve, you got to do something about this speeding. It's just terrible." So, okay, where would you like me to do it? Well, it's before school, right at the corner up here. I don't need to tell you where. And so I called the police department, set up a speed enforcement zone is what we call those. Guess who was the first person with a ticket? The lady that called me to complain. I got another call from her complaining about her ticket. So, you know, that's the way it is. And I'm sure Mark has heard that too, but it happens all the time. So anyway. All right, this is a public hearing. I'm done talking. Anybody else wishing to speak on this? Anybody else? Please.
I was just wondering, Wensower.
Give us your name again.
Wensower.
Thank you.
I was just wondering if maybe the city engineer or something could maybe answer some questions for me privately off to the side, you know, at some other time regarding any plans for where the stormwater drainage is going to continue from that point, because at this point it does continue all the way and
sure.
All the way through the nursery. And so I'm wondering if there's going to be other diversion points.
I have a staff that's looking very much in details and much more familiar with these plans than I am. I've looked at them cursory. So if you come here normal business hours downstairs, my staff would be more than happy to talk to you.
That would be great. Thank
great.
You.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Arnold Leaders again. I guess in listening to all this, this was the first notice of any meeting that I heard of sent to my house or anything. I would never heard that there was another meeting before this, and I've heard that from other people that that was the same. I don't know if this was the first public meeting that this was noticed, and this is my first foray in coming to something like this, and I've really heard nothing but negative things against the citizens here. And I guess the question I have is, if this is a commission meeting and a public hearing, is does this planning commission have any concerns about this, or is this just a rubber stamp done deal? You're representing us, the whole city, not just them, not just the ones that are putting this in, but all of us as a community. And I'm just wondering, do you guys have any legitimate concerns about putting this in? That's it. That's a fair question, I think.
Well, first of all, if you feel like we're being negative toward you, I apologize for that. It's definitely not intended.
Not just me, but everybody. Every comment that's come out of the commissions has been, oh, well, it's you guys, it's your speeding, it's you, da, da, da. And it's like, it's almost just like, guys, this is going to happen. You don't like change. Accept it. Good night. And that might be fine. But I'm just saying, have you guys actually really looked at this and analyzed and scrutinized whether or not do you guys have, and you guys are the ones that we've elected to protect the whole city and do everything that is best for the city, and this might be fantastic, it may not, but have you critically looked at this, and do you guys have any concerns, just any concerns at all?
Here's how this works, just so you know, and it's going to sound negative to some people, I apologize for that, but I'm just telling you the truth, okay? Here's how this happens. The applicant comes to us with a plan, preliminary, essentially back in a napkin, right? Sure. It's better than that, but meets with police, fire, Department of Public Works, building inspection, engineering, planning, all in one room. What do you think? They run down their high-level concerns from just seeing it. They take it, the applicant takes it, that comments for what they're worth, and off they go. Plans stay with it. Each one of those departments take a look at it. Police looks at it, says, "Yeah, you don't have any traffic concerns. Intersection's okay from 51st Street." Planning staff always has significant concerns. Engineering staff always has significant issues. Inspection may have something, usually not. Fire department looks and does their usual. Fire hydrants every 300 feet, right? They look at the road widths and all that. And then we send those back to the applicant. So this is the net of those concerns. Now, tonight, the neighbor had other concerns that I don't know that we looked at. How would we have known unless we had this hearing, right? So staff will work with the applicant to do what they can to mitigate that issue. So the answer is yes, these are studied significantly.
the, I guess we're having this public commission or a meeting or planning commission meeting because of the size of the lots, and I'm just wondering, right, has it really been taken a look at as to resisting the size of the lots, since the Imperial Heights West Homeowners Association has certain lots, from what I understand, which are bigger than this, and so was the Hunters Reserve. Why would we plop lots that are smaller in between? And the $400,000 to $500,000, he mentioned, as this gentleman said, he mentioned that they had a study done. Can that be made public? Who is it? Because our houses have all gone down in value since we built them in 2004 and 5, and none of them are at $400,000 to $500,000, and they're bigger than this, and they're good quality. So I don't know where they're coming up with $400,000 to $500,000, and it would be nice to get an idea, because it's, I don't know if there's anyone in this room that believes that on this side. And if there is, they can you buy my house for that? Because, but I just seriously consider the size of these lots and rethink about that. Now that you're hearing about it from the public, that maybe they ought to go back to the size that's required without the planning commission involved or without the public hearing. So I don't know if I articulated that correctly, but
that's you want bigger lots with houses the same size as the ones next door.
The ones we were required to have.
No, yeah.
So, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
One last thing.
Sure.
I know you guys want to move on with your night.
No, we want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, actually, thinking down the road, I'm an educator as well, and I'm assuming that, you know, the study that was done clearly is looking at the market and the young families that are in a spot, maybe after they've hopefully paid off all of their student loans, can afford a smaller lot size home and put a nice brand new home up with a smaller yard to take care of, which is what studies show people want to buy right now. Looking down the road, I would think that there is going to be 69 young families with children that will then be impacting Southwood Glen or Ben Franklin. Not sure how the parameters for the school district would figure that out. But just keeping in mind that a subdivision with 69 homes in it of this size will have a significant impact on either the classroom size of the teacher or the inability of an elementary school to withstand that influx of children, which cause and effect then leads to, do we have a referendum in place for a new elementary school building or additional staffing? If you go back to the other concept of maybe we relook at this plan and we take a third of these lot sizes here and we say, you know, you've got to have a minimum of half an acre for a third of this subdivision. Might not be as monetarily beneficial to the builder who's building it, but it would provide a bigger tax base for those homeowners paying that property tax as compared to having 69 homes with smaller lot sizes that then impact down the road the schools and the class size.
Okay, first thing I need you to do, though, is tell us your name and Ms. Tim.
Oh, yes. See, you got it. Yeah.
But we need it on that microphone so it goes on.
Christy Tim.
So I'm not a member of the school board. I'm not school superintendent. But as I mentioned, I do this for a long time. The school district needs new growth in order to maintain their state aids.